morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church on this second Sunday in Advent. If you haven't already, greet your neighbor. Okay, do we have any first-time visitors this morning? I don't see anybody that doesn't look familiar.
Maybe some first time to the 8 o'clock hour, So welcome to the 8 o'clock
service. Welcome to the 8 o'clock service. Okay, announcements. Oh, God bless you.
There is a congregational meeting as soon as the announcements are over for nominations for people to their name be presented to be voted on for an elder, and we say that now so you can be prepared. But if you nominate anybody, their name, they must have given their approval.
Right.
His brother's birthday was yesterday.
Okay. Okay. Any other announcements from the congregation? I want to say thank you to the Dornans and the McWilliams for preparing the meal and serving it for our fifth Sunday youth rally last week. Last Sunday night, we probably had about 70 people here for the fifth Sunday youth rally, and we had churches attend that hadn't attended at the first one. So thank you so much. We couldn't have done it without you. Also, thanks to the Bondanzas and family for decorating for Christmas with Sandra yesterday, and for Santa Almore, and just everybody at Kim for bringing her coffee pot up, just everybody that helped. We ended up serving 115 people yesterday. So it was it has quite expanded from last year. So thanks to everybody that helped with that.
And let me add, and us add, Pam worked and worked and worked and worked and worked some more. And you know what she does. She is being the youth leader or the leader of the youth, and wow, that's the best description I can say. Mm-hmm. How does she do it?
Thank you. And the youth, I want to say thanks to the youth because they really, really worked hard on Friday night and Saturday yesterday too. I mean, they do work. They have fun, but they do work.
Even some that don't normally work.
Some that don't normally work usually work. Jade and Sharice did pancakes yesterday. How many pancakes did they make? They made about 400 pancakes yesterday, so it was a good experience for them. So thanks everybody that helped with that. Also, there's an insert in your bulletin about the Christmas poinsettias. You can purchase one for $5.50 per plant and put it in honor of or in memory of, and it'll be in the bulletin.
Next week.
Okay.
We have 25. I believe we have 25 up here.
Okay.
Thereabouts.
Okay. Any prayer or praise requests? Andy? Nikki. Good. That's great.
Diane mentioned what's called to be with her parents, her father, receiving food in Norway. That was the word on Friday night when I talked to her, and I don't know what the weekend is brought. Okay. Her mother's also ill and been in the hospital, and her father is not expected.
Okay, so Diane Riggs and her family. Nikki?
Rachel from YMPC.
Okay. Nikki just got back from a YMPC meeting in Memphis. What is that, Youth Presbyterial? No, youth mission, what is it? It's youth something to do with the Presbytery.
Planning for CPYC next summer.
Yeah, it's like it's a youth mission planning committee. Oh, youth mission planning committee or something like that. And she's on the whole, she got nominated to the whole Presbytery wide for the youth. So she's been in Memphis doing that.
Dylan Hope will be baptized this afternoon at 4 o'clock at Christ Family Church. Go south on Nolensville Road on the right about a mile. Sign out front, Christ Family Church. And he wants to be baptized by immersion, and they have a baptistry. So,
okay, you guys, youth, did y'all hear that? Because I have a Christmas function with a family out of, like, an hour away, and unfortunately I can't be there, so I need the youth to be there to support Dylan. Okay, 4 o'clock this afternoon at Christ Family. Anybody else? Okay, let's pause for a moment for silent prayer. Silent prayer and prepare our heart for worship.
Wait, a congregational meeting.
Oh, congregational meeting. Excuse me, sorry.
We need to do the business. Once a year we do this, and let us pray. Lord God, give your guidance and your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. The clerk is not here, but the used-to-be clerk is. Steve, do you have a bulletin in hand and read the names of the nominees from the session? Do we have other nominations from the floor, from the congregation?
Make a motion to nominate Steve.
For this hour.
Okay.
We will elect next Sunday, but we will give the 10:15 service group an opportunity. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, like sign. Thank you.
Now, let's bow our heads in silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worship. Gathering words, the opening this morning is Glorify Thy Name. I'm brain dead this morning. Okay, our gathering words this morning.
Please stand.
Please stand. We gather here today to listen to what God has to say.
Give us ears to hear your word, O God.
We gather here today expecting God to move and work among us. Give us expectant hearts that anticipate the movement of your Spirit, O God. We gather here today seeking to see with the eyes of faith and hope for what your love has done, is doing, and will do in the world.
Give us ears to hear, hearts to sense, and eyes to see your glory as it is revealed to us this day and always.
Amen. Remain standing for Joy to the World. It's in your bulletins, in your hymnals at 125, or it's up on the screen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive our King. Let every heart prepare. heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and hell and hell and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs reward, for I feel them. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more sins and sorrows grow, no thorns in past the ground. He comes to make his blessing flow, far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nation prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, wonders of his love.
Bow with me as we pray. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus, the joy of life. Thank you that we can know and repeat that joy. Lord, let us experience real joy, joy that would come from you and your great gift to us. Lord, we pray, as the songwriter has written, that sin would not be an influence or would in our lives, or would not be overpowering in our lives. And Lord, give us strength. As we have come together, we pray for the direction of your Spirit in this hour, that we might worship you, that we might worship in truth and in spirit. Thank you for the privilege. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, now praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Okay, please join me in the Apostles' Creed. It is in your book, in your hymnal at 716, or it's on the screen. And it's actually on the screen this time. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Our call to confession this morning comes from Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Our prayer of confession is in unison from Isaiah 40. God of tenderness and love, breathe your grace into our lives. Forgive our wandering ways and guide us along your paths of peace. When we lose our way and forget the reason and purpose of this season, carry us back to you. Lead us up to that high mountain of faith and hope that we might truly proclaim, here is our God, in your holy name we pray. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness comes from Psalms 85:9. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him. The hymn is Good Christian Men Rejoice, number 151 in your hymnals.
Good Christian men rejoice, with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Up and as before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all. Take his everlasting call. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. Will our ushers please come forward?
Let us pray.
Good stewards of what you have given us, and as we give back to you, that you will bless those who make the decision. We ask that you'll be with us today during this time of Advent as we look forward to celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. In that precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Be seated.
Pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star.
This is the Advent season, and last week, if you were here for the 9 o'clock service, we had the first candle of the Advent wreath lighted, or lit, and Andrea talked about hope. Today, let's think about faith. The Bible says that the just, those who are justified before God, shall live by faith. A lot of times in the Christian life, there is not much sight. Our sight is so short. We're short-sighted. So we live by faith. Live by faith in what the Bible says, by faith in what God says has happened and will happen and is happening. So this morning, we light the second candle of the Advent wreath, having faith in the Jesus, born in Bethlehem, crucified at Calvary. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this special way that we can remember, that we can celebrate. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us faith that we might believe. Lord, every good gift comes from you, and even this gift of faith. And in Jesus' name, we offer our prayer, even ourselves. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus, Christ the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We're very sensitive up here this morning, and
very much aware of that. Maybe Sam is working on it even right now. Sensitive being in the sound system. I wonder what Jesus would have done with the sound system anyway. How many have ever eaten any locusts? Anybody? Has anybody eaten locusts? Snails? Has a different name if you're in France, I believe. Chocolate-covered ants? But we're not going to talk about John's eating of locusts. Might talk about some wild honey. We like that. We're on the way to the manger. That's what the season of Advent is. And somewhere years ago, the church fathers, maybe our great-great-great-great-grandfathers or further back than that, planned a season to prepare for celebration of the birth of Jesus. They called it Advent, another name for the coming,
the advent of Jesus, or the coming of Jesus into the world, the coming of the Savior, the coming of the Christ. Also, other days of preparation, the season of Lent, for the preparation to celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection. Never need to mention the crucifixion without the resurrection, because death could not hold Jesus. Second Sunday, that's where we are today in Advent. Advent begins the Sunday nearest, November the 30th. And as they said, we hit smack dab on it last week. Last Sunday was November the 30th. That caused me to think, you know, what day today is in American history. Look at the back of your worship order, your bulletin, and there's mention of it. But we're not talking about that this morning. The manger experience happened, but we have to go back to it. If we're going to experience it, we have to go backward. Go back in history. And so today, let's relive that, or part of going back, as we relive the birth of our Savior, our Lord, Jesus, who is the Christ. And I'm convinced that we look back so that we can be prepared to go forward. Fred Craddock, a preacher out of Georgia, renowned now, have a book where he expounded upon Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and one of the things that he said is Advent pilgrims. If you can think of yourself being on a pilgrimage and a pilgrim, he says, Advent pilgrims on the way to the manger must pass through the desert where John is preaching. Thus the title, On the Way to the Manger. Let's stop by the Jordan. The region of the Jordan, or the desert, where John is preaching. Last Sunday, beautiful service, great sermon. Gary has some special abilities at preaching, preparing, understanding. He took us back to the foot of the cross. You who were here remember that. And he invited us to meet Jesus at the foot of the cross. And especially he invited anyone who had not met Jesus and who was not trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord. A beautiful testimony of his experience, his coming to know the Lord. And this morning, just let me say, remember, at the cross, that's where Jesus gave his life to pay for our sins. And that's why he had to go to the cross, to pay for our sins. We all sin. We were born in sin. Our nature is nature of a sinner, but we are actively involved in sin, either of commission or omission. And Jesus went there to pay the penalty, death, or the wages of sin. Pay our wages. So let's move on today to the preaching of John the Baptist. As Jesus, or right before Jesus, began his public ministry,
He labored, John the Baptist did, preparing the way for Jesus to begin his public ministry. And as we read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John's account of the preaching of John the Baptist, he was a popular preacher. We read in Paul's writings about a man named Apollos, and he was a popular preacher. And there are still popular preachers today that seemingly outshine all the rest of them. I wasn't so blessed. I had hoped that, but about my third sermon, I realized I was going to be pretty normal in preaching, okay? John the Baptist. Was it his dress? I don't think so. People kept going out to see this and to hear this preacher, John the Baptist, preaching. Just like they went out to hear Apollos, or they would argue over who was the greatest, Apollos or Paul. And we know we don't have any writings of Apollos. Paul means so much to us today, but Apollos does too. Just kind of the mention a couple or three times of his name in the Bible by Paul in his writings concerning that. But John the Baptist, read about it, and you'll find that, you know, people want to go out and see this great fellow preaching. What attracted them? Was it the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, pulling them out to be prepared? Maybe some went just for, what, observation? Or just for entertainment? Well, because everybody else was going. We really don't know all the details of why they went out, but I'm convinced that part of them were there because God sent them out there, or His Spirit so directed them. We find in the region or the area of the Jordan River preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He wasn't just entertaining people. He was calling a spade a spade. He was pointing out the people's wrong. He was telling them, you're not living according to what God wants you to live. And they kept a coming. Even when he was telling them things that were not ticklish to their ears, they were willing to go and listen as he preached of repentance for sin. John's preaching was generally, or the part that we have, was a call to repentance. And that's what the Bible says. Now, Mark just gives, what, one more time mentions repentance. So we have to go to Luke. See, Mark just did a short version of the life of Jesus. 16 chapters. Luke, I think it was 24. You can go count them. If I make a mistake in the number. Matthew, 28 chapters. John, 21 chapters. John's gospel is slanted a little different from the spiritual aspects of Jesus. For the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call them the synoptic gospels, or those who are similar. They talk about more of the physical aspect of his life. And John comes and gives us the spiritual side of the life of Jesus, but Mark's is so short. So when he talks about John the Baptist's preaching, he even started kind of long time after Matthew and Luke started, right? They go back and give some birth narratives. Mark doesn't do that. He starts right in with John the Baptist's preaching, Jesus coming on the scene. So he only gives us that John the Baptist came preaching a repentance. But we can turn to Luke and see some of the details of what John the Baptist was talking about as he was calling for repentance, or preaching about repentance. Scofield, in the notes in the Scofield Bible, says that repentance, being defined, is to have another mind, or to have a change of mind. having a mind change, a mind-changing experience, if you will. Paul talks about this in Romans 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice and be withholding something to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But John the Baptist was talking about the renewal of the mind, a repentance, change of the mind. The word is used in the New Testament to indicate a change of mind in respect to sin. See the fallacy of sin. See the tragedy of sin rather than that sin is good. But some people still think sin is good. And they plan certain times of the week to just go out and do sin. Or maybe stay in and do sin. They have a change. See sin as a detriment to life. The results of sin being death. Understand that. Have a change of mind. Repentance is also used in the New Testament to indicate a change of the mind in respect to God. Before you became a Christian, how did you look at God? Maybe you feared God and trembled before Him and tried to stay hidden from Him, like Adam and Eve in the garden after they had sinned. They ran to hide. Then our repentance, see, God is loving and caring. Yeah, justice, but loving and caring and helpful and encouraging and a blessing to us, not a curse. And then indicate a change of mind in respect to self. To self. Look at ourselves humbly before God. A sinner in need of salvation. Except for the grace of God, there go I. That's kind of a change in some of our thinking, isn't it? Walter Russell Bowie, writing an interpreter's Bible back in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s, he says that repentance in John's preaching was a thoroughgoing change, as is true in all true repentance. A new mind, he calls it. So he is basically saying the same thing that we find in Schofield's notes. It's a call for an about-face, a will turned in a new direction. It's more than penitence, giving up something for Lent. It's not remorse. It's more than that. It's not just admitting our mistakes. It's not saying in self-condemnation, I've been a fool. We've all recited that, Bowie says. It's easy to do that. It's more than that, repentance is. It's more than being sorry for one sin. Oh, we can say we're sorry over and over, but what are we going to do about it? It is a moral and a spiritual revolution. And Bowie continues. He says, for that reason, to repent genuinely, a genuine repentance, if you want to say it, is one of the hardest things in the world. Yet it is basic to all spiritual change and basic to all spiritual progress. It calls for a complete breakdown of pride, of self-assurance, of the prestige that comes from success, and then of that inmost citadel, which is our self-will. And we'll stop there with the quotes. It's a revolution of our attitude about God, about ourselves, and about sin. That sin is wrong and we need to avoid it. We need to be away from it. We're in need of being forgiven our sin. It's seeing God as the one who sent Jesus to forgive us. And it's trusting in Jesus rather than ourselves to get us into heaven, as Gary so eloquently spoke last Sunday. All kinds of people came to John the Baptist for repentance. The multitudes. You find this in Luke chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 10. He mentions the multitude or the crowds. Some versions say the crowds. The multitudes came. Then the publicans, who were the tax collectors. Some versions of the Bible, some translations use the word publicans, others use the word tax collectors, and these were the people that were probably working for the Roman government, turning against their own people and making a profit in their job as tax collector, collecting taxes for those Romans who had invaded their country and was draining them dry, or so they thought, and likely so. And then soldiers came to John the Baptist, an unlikely group of people, right? I live near an Air Force base, grew up near an Air Force base. Oh, if you saw an airman in church, boy, you thought something great had happened, and some of them were. But Brad has been there, it seems like. It is unusual, is it not, Brad? They're the unlikely group to publicly profess their faith. The soldiers came to John the Baptist. He touched some lives with his preaching. He touched a great scope of people. Multitudes, publicans, tax collectors, soldiers. And they came to him, according to Mark 1:5, confessing their sins. We get back to the scripture that we read. Mark 1:5. They came repenting. And we read this, especially as we read Luke. In Luke's version of John the Baptist's preaching, repentance leads to or includes action. Repentance. If we repent, it shows. It shows in the way we act. These people came to say, well, they came to him and he said, what are you coming here for, you brood of vipers? And he kind of, he said, go and show repentance before you get baptized. And that may be people, one reason that people say, well, I'm not good enough yet. I don't want to do anything in a hurry. And there's some validity to that. But we have to open our heart to the Holy Spirit to let the Holy Spirit guide us into goodness. We're not strong enough of our own, of our own strength. But he said to the multitudes that went out, you offspring of vipers, are you snakes? You're a bunch of snakes. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear some fruit worthy of repentance, or bear some fruit that shows, or act in a way that shows you have repentance. If you go out and if you come to church or go anywhere and repent and commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and the community I lived up in or grew up in and the influences that I was under growing up, then if you go out and got drunk on Saturday night and got in a fight, then ran around on your wife or your husband and everything, those kind of actions did not show that you had repented. You hadn't changed. Repentance means to change, to turn around, to change in the mind, but also change in action. The multitude says, what must we do? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And isn't it good that the church is involved in sharing clothing and food and whatever else people need? And we especially do it during the Christmas season. And there came the publicans to be baptized. And what must we do? And he said, extort no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers asked, what should we do? And he says, extort from no man by violence, or be nice. Just be nice to those you minister. And as I read these, Luke chapter 3, I find it's all about relationships. All about how we treat. The repentant life is all about how we treat our fellow man. how we treat other people. You can find it in Matthew 25, the great judgment. How we've treated other people. How we've ministered to other people. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. And he says, you cannot make, this is another aspect of our change in repentance. You cannot depend on who your grandfather was and what a faithful Christian and church person he was or your grandmother was. It says, Abraham, this you can't say, just because Abraham's our father, he's that you're going to be okay and God's going to take you in. That was because of your physical lineage. Matthew 21, verse 28 tells about a young man whose father said, would you go do something? And the son said, no, I'm not going to. But later the son said he would and went and did what it was that the father, he repented. Also, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 and following, the story of the prodigal son. He ran off and he acted terrible. That's just a simple way to put it. He acted terrible. But he got hungry enough. He came to his senses. And maybe it took that hunger to bring him to his senses. And he had a change of heart and a change of lifestyle. And he went and confessed to his father, who represented God in that story. The call for repentance and the preaching of John the Baptist was followed by a message of hope. And that hope that John preached about was fulfilled and is fulfilled in Jesus the Christ. John came preaching, getting people ready for Jesus to come. And that same preaching speaks to us today as we read it from the Holy Word. Getting us ready for Jesus to come at the end of the world. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you willing to come to Him in repentance and in faith? And that's God's call to us today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for John. And we thank you, Lord, for his proclamation, his warnings, his guidance, that our lives might be in such a condition that we would be found acceptable and approved when Jesus comes. John the Baptist's preaching was also called proclamation. He proclaimed. And the scriptures say that we proclaim even when we eat from the Lord's table. Roger will come and Lewis will come. Mike, will you come? Not only are you able to come, are you? Sam, will you come? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mr. West, will you come? David, will you come? Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 26. Jesus met with the disciples at the end of his life. As they were eating, Jesus took a small loaf of bread and blessed it and broke it apart and gave it to his disciples and said, take it and eat it. This is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks for it and gave it to them and said, each one drink from it.
For this is my blood, sealing the new covenant. It is poured out to forgive the sins of multitudes. Body of Christ broken for us to pay for that sin that we have committed. The blood of Christ shed for us for the forgiveness of our sin. All who are trusting in Jesus and His death that is exemplified in the bread and the cup. All who are trusting in Jesus as their Savior and Lord, you're invited to join with us as we eat and drink from His table. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus going to the cross for us and allowing His body to be broken. Oh Lord, bless this bread. Make it for us a sign, a symbol, a remembrance, a proclamation to ourselves and those around us that we're trusting in Jesus for heaven. In His name, amen. The body of Christ broken for you. The cup. Lord Jesus, thank You for shedding Your blood. Holy Father, thank You for allowing it to happen. We know You did it for us, and we offer praise and thanks to You. We claim forgiveness of our sins through Christ's blood. In His name, amen. Blood of Christ shed for you. says continue our proclamation. 138. Stand together. The first verse, please. Those that you meet this week, amen and amen.
Is good news, something we can always use.
Need an all year long song, where the giving goes on and on. We don't have to be the man in red to heal the hurt and keep the hungry fed. Love will never go out of style.
that originate from a residential neighborhood.
This is Mindy. She's my teacher. She teaches me everything.